Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is Carl from Carl's Cavern. And, of course, we are joined by our wonderful producer and tech person, and that, of course, would be Doc. Say hello, Doc.
Good evening, everybody. How is yours?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Great.
And I hope you're doing well too. I take it's a little cold up there in Utica.
Yeah, it's like 29 degrees. We're supposed to get down to 22, and it's like that moist cold that gets in your bones and makes you ache and go through half a bottle of Tylenol in an hour. Yeah, it's one of those days. It's not going to get any better, unfortunately.
It's not much warmer here in the city. I can tell you that. So people, bundle up, get some hot cocoa or whatever you need, or some Irish coffee, and join us. Doc, I forgot to ask you this beforehand, but do you have the phone number so people can call in? So I'm expecting some call-ins.
I absolutely do. To everybody who's listening and those who are just tuning in, we do have a call-in number, and that number is area code 657-383-0397. That's 657-383-0397 for our call-in. And I will be able to see the calls when they come in, and we will pop everybody onto the show.
There you go. So why are you calling in? Why would you want to do that today? Well, today's show is about remakes. Now, there are those of us that don't want to see any remakes at all. I talked to somebody today, and hopefully they'll call in with that. Then there's another person who says we should remake everything, or why are we so uptight about it? And then there's me. I'm sort of in the middle. You know, I mean, I think things can be and should be remade at times. Sometimes they shouldn't be. So in the spirit of this question, I had posted, name me some movies that you think should be remade. And the only rule is it needs to be before 1990, and that particular movie cannot have been remade, rebooted, or sequeled from 1990 to 2019. So, Doc, you had a little time to think about this. Name one of yours.
Well, actually, I want to mention, before we actually get into like the whole meat of everything, that there have been some recent movies that have been remade that were actually pretty good. Now, I actually have the complete Japanese Ringu series sitting right here with me, and it made me think about some of the Ring movies that were made here in America, and those were actually fairly decent, but then they started getting ridiculous. But of course, that was after 1990. But when we were actually talking before the show about pre-1990 movies that would be really cool to have a remake, I was actually thinking about Francis Ford Coppola's and Roger Corman's Dementia 13. It's quite an interesting little thriller. It's, you know, there's a lot of violence in it. There's nudity. It's really a nice little story. It's kind of like riding on the coattails of Psycho. But honestly, if you actually sit down and watch it, it's pretty much like one or two notches below Psycho and it's how good it is. And the cinematography is absolutely fantastic. I would love to see another version of Dementia 13 made. But because it's just one of those movies that's on like every single horror collection you can find that's, you know, public domain or whatever. And the copies that you get are kind of crappy, so you really can't see how good the movie actually is because of transfer issues and everything. And there was a Blu-ray that was put out recently by HD Cinema and Cultura. You can get a two-pack with Boris Karloff and the Terror, another great Roger Corman film that could be remade, possibly, but would be nowhere close to his original, but it'd still be interesting, you know, by Roger Corman and, of course, Boris Karloff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So yes. Here I am on my site, and I'm just going to throw a couple out and mention who did them, okay? So the first one, a friend of mine, Al Callender, put out The Warriors. Now, what do you think of that, Doc? The Warriors. You know the movie I'm talking about, right? The baseball furies,
yeah, so the
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the gang's taking over New York, and they come out and play. Yes. I guess you see that.
Come out
done.
And play. yes, David Patrick Kelly will be famous for that line forever and ever and ever. Amen. Yes.
Yes, he will. I could actually see it being done very well, actually, because if we take a look at it makes me think of like The Purge and the amount of chaos mm-hmm. and anarchy that goes on. If it was actually made nowadays with all the breakneck speed editing, the special effects, the camera work. Yeah, I could see something really in your face and pretty, like, you know, white knuckle being produced of the Warriors, without a doubt.
Well, so I have a little bit of information for you. It was kind of sort of already remade. Okay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Because Sol Yurick, who wrote The Warriors, based the whole idea on a battalion of Roman soldiers trying to get back behind the lines. Okay, and I forget which Roman historian wrote about this. Well, that particular incident was actually made into a movie. What's the name of it?
Was it
Neil Marshall directed it? Centurion.
Oh, gotcha.
Have you seen Centurion?
Unfortunately, I have not.
But yeah, for those of you that you may not know that, I would recommend highly Centurion. I think it's a great film. I'm also a big Neil Marshall fan. I really am. I even liked his reboot of Hellboy. Okay. You could string me up for that. I don't care.
I liked it too. That was fun.
That was fun, you know. But Centurion, Michael Fassbender, just a great, great action film. And really well done. Really well done. So don't forget, guys, as you're listening, I'm hoping we get some call-ins. But here we go. Another one that was mentioned is actually one of mine. When this movie originally came out, I was absolutely wanted to see it. And I did, in the theater. And I was disappointed. Because even though the play was by the original author, I could tell that it was tampered with. One of the reasons it was tampered with was because Disney put it out. And there was definitely Disney meddling. And that movie that I'd like to see redone a lot closer to the book would be Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely.
You know, that's an important book for me. And this particular suggestion came from James Dye, who I'm very good friends with. And in fact, James and I went to the Museum of Moving Image the other day and saw the Jim Henson exhibition, which was absolutely a blast. So we were talking about this over a while back, and he had mentioned this. This particular book, it's by Ray Bradbury, of course, is a book that's very important to me. There are three sets of boys over the years that I have read this novel to, and I've read it out loud. I think it's an important book. I think it's about wanting to grow old too quickly and not appreciating what and who you have at the time. It's also a book about fathers and sons. And I think it's a great book, and I think it really needs to be remade. Now the 80s version, Alan Price, not Alan, Jonathan Price, was absolutely fantastic as Mr. Dark. Jason Robards was fantastic as the father, and everybody else was good, but it just seemed like a lot of the meat of it was taken away, and it didn't hold together that well. What was your thought on the original, Doc?
I actually have not seen it, and I feel really bad about it.
That's a movie that needs to be redone, and that's a movie that needs to you very closely to the book. There were a couple scenes that they cut out. One particularly when the older boy spies in on Becky when she's changing.
I do have to change what I just said. I actually have seen it, parts of it when I was younger. But I really have actually not sat down and seen the whole thing. But I have seen bits and pieces of it.
And the other thing is that it wasn't made clear that the people's wishes then became their curses. You know, somehow that got a little lost in translation. But that's a movie, I think, that really needs to be redone. And that actually is one of the reasons for this podcast, because to me, it's not the movies that you love that need to be remade, but the movies that had potential that just didn't make it, either because of certain things in the script, or perhaps they weren't just seen. You know, nobody knows them, and they need to be redone so other people can be introduced to the whole thing. So Doc, do you have another one that you would consider?
Yes, I do. Well, this one, it's a classic, but it's one of those movies that it's cheesy. A lot of people don't like it, but a ton of people do. I really enjoyed the movie Dinosaurus. Now, Dinosaurus is basically this older movie that dinosaurs are, I don't know how they're frozen, but they're frozen at the bottom of the ocean or this bay at a tropical island, frozen on a tropical island. Yeah, put that together. And they are dynamited awake and whacked by lightning. And they pretty much terrorize this little small island. It's a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a Brontosaurus and a caveman. Now, I was just thinking to myself how fun it would be if somebody actually remade the movie, made it a little bit more action-centric. You know, keep the comedy, of course, with the young kid and the caveman. But just doing that with the special effects power that we have nowadays, and looking at the 2019 Godzilla film, doing a movie like that, like Dinosaurus, with the special effects that we have now, oh, man. I mean, almost anything like a Ray Harryhausen flick would be, it would never match the original in its awesomeness, because that's just Harryhausen. But anything that, I just would think it could be good, honestly. It would be entertaining.
Well, what I would say to that, and I was talking to Vicky, and she may call in, but she made a point. Why not, instead of remaking Dinosaurus, you know, do an original idea using CGI and that sort of thing, or however you want to do it. You know, why that particular film? And you know, to me, if it's Harryhausen, that to me is almost sacrosanct. You don't touch Harryhausen. That's
right.
Sort of,
well,
my feel on it.
Okay, that's doable. Well, let's say that a studio has got billions and billions of dollars to spend and tons of time to make a movie, and they actually bring back stop motion animation. I would be head over heels for that. I mean, the last movie that I saw with stop motion animation was Curse of the Were-Rabbit, and that's with, you know, Wallace and Gromit. So if there was ever a studio that actually decided to go do stop motion animation monster movies again, like we used to have all the way up to the point of Clash of the Titans, and, you know, dedicate each one of these movies to the Ray Harryhausen and family, and take a partial donation of all the profits and give it to the Ray Harryhausen Foundation for Animation. Oh my gosh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. That's what I'm thinking about. Is just these stop motion monster films.
You know, the company, the studio that should do it is Leica.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, for people who don't know Leica, think Paranorman, but think Coraline, which is like one of the creepiest friggin' animated films, and it's all stop motion.
Yes, it is. But just thinking, like, doing that on a massive scale, like they did in the 50s and 60s, with actual live-action actors and your stop-motion animation monsters. I would love to see a return to that. I know that's not
a
movie.
Yeah, with a little bit of money. And nothing against Christopher Mim, who basically does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a very low budget. But to do it with a bigger budget, and that would be really cool. I would agree with that. Okay, so we're going to go to one of my movies next. And it's not often you hear that you want your favorite movie of all time remade. But in this case, I think it would be a good thing. But there's one if to that, okay? So my favorite film of all time is Long Goodbye. It is a Philip Marlowe mystery. It was done by Robert Altman in the 70s. It was set in the 70s and not in the original 40s. And a lot of it was changed, particularly the ending. It was very hip and anti-establishment. It was really taking a swipe at the 70s culture and so on and so forth. It's a great film. But it's not the novel. The novel by Raymond Chandler was his last completed novel before he died. He had been working on his second one. And when I was a kid, I read all Raymond Chandler. I read all of Dashiell Hammett. I love private detectives. And this one, I remember a friend of mine reading it. I told him to read it. And like 20 pages in, said like, "This is like the worst novel I've ever read." And then at the end of it, he looks at me like, "This is the best detective novel I've ever read." And the reason for that is it's about regret. And so you take, you remake The Long Goodbye, but you do it very, very closely to the novel. And I think that would be really good. Now, I do have a very good friend of mine, Josh Buckland, turned me on to a miniseries that was done in Japan in 2012 of The Long Goodbye. They changed it, you know, to reflect Japanese politics. It was set right after the war in the 40s. And so technically, from what I said at the beginning, I can't pick this, but how many people have seen the Japanese version? Not too many, unless you're Japanese. Now, I have seen it. It's brilliant. He was able to get it to me. But yet, excuse me, an American version of it, in a film version, would be really, really good. And so that's one I think. Now, Doc, you remember we did a watch of The Long Goodbye, and I know that you were there for that. That's the movie with Elliot Gould, Philip Marlowe.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes. I do. That was quite good. Definitely quite good.
So what do you think of my idea of remaking it? You think I'm nuts?
I could see it. No, because it was moderately successful the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but again, what I said, what I just said, is that the that version of it really isn't near the novel at all. It takes the basic idea and changes the whole setting and everything. And so I'm just saying, do it like one of the Robert Mitchum ones or one of the Bogie ones from the 40s.
Yeah.
Which is a whole different thing.
And keeping it more based towards the original source material of the book, that would make there's a lot of people nowadays that I guarantee you have not read the book, but they would complain if it wasn't like the book.
Well, when the original came out, man, the complaints were like, you wouldn't believe the kickback because they changed the ending, majorly changed the ending. And people just like, oh, man, that's not Marlowe. That's not Marlowe. So that's one of mine. So Doc, give us the number again for people to call in.
The number is, for guests to call in or anyone who wants to join us, is 657-383-0397. That's 657-383-0397. I'm getting my numbers mixed up because that's all I was working with today. With numbers, and numbers at work.
So tell us a little bit about the new job. Come on.
I work for a major technology firm in Central New York. I don't want to go exactly which one because of things that we do. And my job is level one tech. I'm a level one tech support agent. Now, we're not talking, did you turn it off and turn it back on type stuff? No, I mean, I remote into different systems. I can reprogram. I can reboot. I can lock out. I can do pretty much anything I can to help our customers and get the job done. And keep their businesses up and running. Yeah, so that's a pretty awesome thing. Yep.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. That's very cool. And how's being up in Utica and in the new place? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, sure, yes. The new place is pretty awesome. It's actually quite large. It's a 3-bedroom apartment I got for $700 a month rent, water included. It's like the top half of those old mansion type houses. We have an estimation of about almost 1,000 square feet of apartment space.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really awesome. I've got some friends out here already, and it's a little spooky too because there's been something kind of unnatural or supernatural going on here. Not really sure what it is just yet, trying to figure that out. But it seems pretty friendly, so we're gonna just let it be. I think I might have a ghost.
Okay. Yeah.
And, ooh.
Yeah, talking about scary things, I do need to do a shout out. I just got a message, and we want to say hello to Mr. Bond. Hello, Mr. Bond from England. Glad you're listening.
Hey, Mr. Bond, how are you? Yes, we are.
So, Bond, if you're listening, text me a movie you'd like to see remade, all right? So, here we go. So back to you, Doc. What movie would you like to see remade? Another one.
I'm pulling out the cheese fest right now. I love monster movies, as everybody knows. And I also really, really like movies where nature goes absolutely berserk and goes after people. I would like to see a remake of the movie called Prophecy. Not the Angel movie with Christopher Walken. The monster movies from the 70s. And basically what goes on is, this is up in Maynard, Massachusetts, there is a paper mill that is, air quotes, accidentally spilling mercury into the environment, which causes a And they're very, very, very large bear mutation to the point of being big enough to smash through a cabin. And, of course, the local Indian populace, Native American populace, calls him Katahdin, which is a chimera-like creature, which is the guardian of the forest. And it's bloody as hell for the time. It's crazy. And when I was a kid, it used to scare the heck out of me every time it was on HBO. And now I watch it, and I crack up so much. There's one of the funniest death scenes you'll ever see in a horror flick. And if you go to YouTube and you look up Prophecy, if you go to YouTube and look up Sleeping Bag versus Rock Death horror movie, you'll see it. It is hysterical. It is one of the most funniest things I've ever seen. But I would like to see a movie, this movie remade, not using CGI. I would like to see it remade actually with, you know, either guy or several people or whoever may be to do this in an actual real prosthetic suit or with animatronics or something. And I think it could be truly horrifying and very scary. You know, I mean, it did have the cheese factor of the 70s and the little, and the person waddling in a bear suit that's way too large for them type thing going on. But okay. Done right with this technology, it could be truly terrifying.
Oh, nice. That's not a bad one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. And also the message about the poor not being taken care of is very strong in this movie, and also environmental destruction and the abuse of Native peoples. Those are big issues that are confronted in this movie, and I think that we need to be reminded about that, and could resonate and cause a few good things here and there. You never know.
Okay, so I just got a message from Bond. Of course,
yes.
He'll probably give us about four in the next 10 minutes. I know him quite well. But here's one for you, which I think is actually a really good choice. The 1945 film Isle of the Dead. That's the Boris Karloff one. Do you know that?
Oh, I have heard of that one. That's one of the Karloff films I have not seen yet. I will have to fix that.
So basically, on a Greek island during the 1912 war, several people are trapped by quarantine for the plague. If that isn't enough worry, one of the people, a superstitious old peasant woman, suspects one young girl being a vampiric kind of demon called a Borvalaka.
Oh, yes, I've heard of those. They're not fun to deal with.
Yeah. This could be really good. Now, the original, this was one of the films that was produced by Val Lewton, and it's a great film. I saw this on when I was a kid watching Chiller Theater. It scared the living crap out of me. But, you'd have to tighten it up in terms of really understanding the supernatural part of it, if it is supernatural, which is part of the question. I think this would be a really good one. What do you think, Doc?
I'll tell you what, Val Lewton was one of the best filmmakers at that time because he used atmosphere like crazy and shadow work.
Absolutely.
And what made his films most effective is that he didn't show gruesome bits. He didn't show horror. He let your mind do it for you. You know,
exactly.
There were sounds or there were shadows, but what your mind came up with was more horrifying than was anything that was on that screen. I've actually seen a lot of Val Lewton's films, and I impressed. Yes. Anything that Batman made should be made in the same way or similar nowadays.
Think about one of his movies being done by Robert Eggers, who just did The Lighthouse. Eggers would be perfect to redo a Luton film, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, and I just saw The Lighthouse last week. It's absolutely, it's fabulous. I loved it. Loved it. But yeah, that's a good one, Vaughn. Thank you for that. That reminds me of one. Here's another Boris Karloff one that I think could be redone. There was a anthology film called Black Sunday. You know the film I'm talking about, Doc?
I do.
The one directed by Mario Bava?
Yep, it's in my collection, and the cellophane has not been cracked open yet. I literally just got it before.
My leg is going to grow about 1,400 miles and kick you in the ass. Seriously.
I got it the day before I moved. So I will have to go home and grab it and bring it back here and watch it.
Okay. It's an anthology film, and there are three stories. And the one that needs to be remade is the one that starred Boris Karloff, and it's called The Verdelax. Have you heard about this?
That's sort of similar to the creature that was supposedly roaming the island in Island of the Dead, right?
Right, exactly. Hold on just a second. Let me get to it here. But Black Sunday, all three stories are really good. But this one in particular could be expanded and done. This is a 1960 film. Barbara Steele. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Not Black Sunday. It is.
Black
Friday.
What?
I think I had the wrong. No, it's not Black Friday either. Hold on.
Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Thank you. Black Sabbath. This is
You're
what
welcome.
I'm thinking of. Black Sabbath. But the Berdelak is really, really scary as shit, man. And what it is, it's a sort of like an undead vampiric a creature. And it has a revenge on this one particular family. And it's really something. Hold on just a second. Let me get to it here. So while we're waiting for me, you know, tell the people one more time about the phone number while I get here so
sure.
We're not wasting time.
The phone number to call in is 657-383-0397. That's 657-383-0397. You can call in anytime.
So this one is from a story by Tolstoy. And basically, so basically, it's a Russian count in the early 1800s who stumbles upon a family in the countryside trying to destroy a particularly vicious line of vampires. And it's a hell of a story. And so that one could be done. That one could be done. It's called The Verdelak, which is W-U-R-D-U-L-A-K. Okay.
Very cool.
So I'm going to do one more that I think that I would like to have done. Okay. I'm now living back in New York City. Okay. And I'm living in Queens. I'm not living in Manhattan, but Queens is close enough. And back in the 70s, there was a play that was done by Jules Feiffer. And that play was called Little Murders. And later, in 1971, it was made into a film. It was directed by Alan Arkin and starred L.A. Gould. It is a very, very, very black comedy. about a photographer who specializes in photographing shit. Okay? And he falls in love with Patsy. He is very, very much basically he's not connected to the world at all. And she's very, very much this go-get-em and tries to get him to do things and that sort of thing. They're complete opposites. They get married, and on their wedding day, she gets shot and killed by this sniper who is targeting everyone in New York City. And so there's a detective that comes in, and the family is all destroyed by this. Detective comes in. He comes crazy because he can't find the sniper. And what happens is that everybody's so disgusted, they all become snipers. So they're all killing each other at the end of this play. Okay? Does that sound like a lot of fun?
It sounds like complete insanity, which, yeah, definitely fun.
Well, you know, the point was at the time, New York was just extremely violent and that sort of thing. But now you could reboot that to a certain degree with what's going on now with the racial violence and not only with blacks, but you know, our Latinos and the hate crimes that are going on and so on and so forth. You could really reboot that and make a point and be pretty nasty. The play itself in the movie is damn nasty. It's dated nowadays because there's a wedding ceremony that's done by a hippie and so on and so forth. You'd have to change things. But I think the basic story and the reaction to the violence that we're seeing around and that sort of thing can really be adapted and we can really see what's going on that. So what do you think of that one? You think that's a good idea, Doc?
I do. I think it's a great idea, but it's one of those ones where there's so many people nowadays that would be offended by something like that, that it may not ever get done, but I would like, it would definitely be interesting if it did. I would go see it. I would support it.
Oh yeah.
Because I love,
but you're right. And these days it'd be really hard to be made because, you know, you're stepping on people's toes, which I don't think is a bad thing, by the way, artistically.
Oh, it's not. I mean, some people need to get their toes jammed pretty hard. The cancel culture and the I'm offended culture is getting to be the point where it's ridiculous. And actually, that's what I'm going to be talking about next when it's my turn.
Okay.
Some really offensive movies. Okay. Now, back in the 70s, exploitation films were huge. You know, it was the grindhouse era. These movies were made quick, dirty, cheap, and pretty slimy, pretty sleazy to make a buck in movie theaters. And I actually enjoy, this is kind of, I like sleazy movies. That's just plain done. I love sleazy movies. Now, me and Carl were talking earlier, and I came up with the Ilsa films. Now, the Ilsa films are like the Nazi exploitation from the 70s, Italian, Spanish, in that area. They're very, very, they're highly sexualized. They're just sleazy little movies that would probably never, ever, ever, ever be remade nowadays because of how offensive they are considered, of course, you know, with these sex and violence and so on. But if somebody actually had the set of balls to remake these films and put them out on like wide distribution.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Say away.
I would be very impressed. But like I said, there's so much air quote offensive material in these movies that they would probably never ever get done. But it would be kind of neat to see somebody try and actually succeed. Now, and everybody who's listening who just went, "Doc, you're horrible." No, I'm not. I just like crap movies. Just because I like crap movies doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Which I'm a good person.
No.
So there.
Well, you know what? I have a thing about nunsploitation, so hey.
I went to Catholic school when I was 5 years old. I still have physical scars from those wenches. So I'm not much for nuns. But I can understand. The nunsploitation films are fun.
Yes, they are.
Carl, before we go on, how many people do you think I've just offended in the last 3 minutes?
I really don't care.
I don't either. So let's move on.
But you know, when you talk about those type of films, right, who would you think would be able to make those?
I probably have to go to like one of the film directors like from like Brain Damage Films or the Asylum or something, because
there are two people I can tell you who are names that I consider for this.
Really?
One of them actually did a trailer for Grindhouse. The one about the Nazi women who turn into werewolves.
Yeah, the She-Wolves of the SS, Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie could do it in a friggin' heartbeat.
He could, but he can't get any money for anything nowadays. Because, duh.
And I tell you someone else who could do it, too. And do it comically. Alexandra Aja.
Aha!
And he just came out with the alligator movie. What was the name of that? Crawl. That was a fucking great movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it is doable, but I would say getting the funding and just, like I said, people being offended by everything nowadays, it just... It's one of those things I would give you my blessing, but good luck.
Agreed. So Bond just sent me another one. Let's see what you think of this one.
Okay.
The Legend of Seven Golden Vampires.
Oh, you know what? That could work. Because the first one, I mean, looking at Legend of Seven Golden Vampires, there's two versions of it. There was a version that was originally released here in the States, which was absolutely horrible. Then there's the international version, which is slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
I could, if somebody remade that and actually put good time, effort, and budget into it, oh yeah, I'd watch it, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And notice what we're talking about, people. We are talking about We're not talking about remaking, you know, Goodfellas or remaking, you know, movies that everybody knows. We're sort of like going to the ones that are unpolished possible gems, right? The ones people don't know as much that we love. And that's a good one, too. Now, let me get back here, and so the interesting thing is I had somebody, and I got to get here, just a moment. So somebody, Ray Whalen, who's a good friend of mine, said, why don't we remake 2001 A Space Odyssey? Now, I wish Vicky would call in on this one, but... What's your, you know, to me, 2001 I'm not the big fan of it that most science fiction fans are. I think it's too long. I think there are segments of it that are absolutely brilliant. But then again, it's not the novel either. And what Ray says is to do it more like the novel
and less like Kubrick, which is like going back to the original source.
Yeah, I with me and Kubrick, it was him and his movies for me, they're either take it or leave it. I enjoy The Shining, but it's flawed. I didn't exactly like what he did to the actors and actresses, but anyway. 2001 Space Odyssey for me, the music I absolutely love. Music is wonderful. It gets tedious after a while. It's way too long. So I could definitely see somebody remaking it and doing a better job without mm-hmm. or like you were saying, going back to the actual source material, which is the book, and doing a fantastic job with this film.
Well, I can tell you right now, you probably just offended more people by that statement than you did with the whole Ilsa bit. Critic guy, if you ever listen to this, you know, forgive him, okay? And actually, you can forgive me, too, because I happen to agree with him. There's a whole bunch of people I know, film freaks, that are part of the Stanley Kubrick page, which I'm also part of. But you know, the Kubrick fans can be rather, how shall I say this? Avid, maybe, is the best way to say it.
Yeah, I just looked out my window and there's a bunch of villagers out here with pitchforks and torches. Ooh, yeah, this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Pardon me, but I'm hungry, so I just had some cheese and crackers.
Also good. Well, Carl's chewing. I thought of a movie that there have been a lot of homages to, which some of them are pretty good, and some of them are not very good. Creature from the Black Lagoon is one of those movies that, if it's done the right way, a remake is done the right way, it could be extremely good. You know, very little CGI. We're actually talking guy in a suit, animatronics, actual real-life special effects. It could be done very well. But the problem is, The Creature from the Black Lagoon is such an icon, such a classic, that you're probably going to anger people anyway. And there's people that are going to say, oh, it's terrible just because it's a remake. It could be done. It could be done really, really well, or it could be done really badly. I would say badly with a CGI creature. But there was a very, very, very awesome homage to Creature from the Black Lagoon. And it was, what is that, The Color of Water?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I have not seen it yet, which, once again, I know Carl wants to smack me through the phone for that. But
mm-hmm.
it's an homage to Creature from Black Lagoon, and from what I hear, it's an absolutely wonderful movie. So Creature from Black Lagoon could be done well if it's done right with very, very little CGI. But that is yet to be seen.
Well,
I myself have bitched and moaned before about a supposed remake that was supposed to happen. I'm like, no, blah, 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 blah. But as I've aged, I've kind of went, yeah, you know what? A remake could be good. It could be good. Or it could be bad. But,
well,
hey,
you know
I'd
who was supposed
said,
to do that and went to Universal and begged them to sell the rights to him, but they wouldn't do it. You know
Guillermo
who wanted to do it? John Carpenter. John Carpenter wanted to remake that and ended up doing the Midwich Cuckoos, you know, the Children of the Damned.
Yes. Oh, if Carpenter had done A Creature from the Black Lagoon, holy shit, it would have been good.
Yeah.
Oh, I would yeah, I would go see it. John Carpenter's Textbook, you better believe it.
And I saw Shape of Water. I think it's a good movie, but I think it's problematic. I think there are some
things. Right, Shape of Water, not The Color of Water, Shape of Water. I was getting The Color of Space, because that's coming out too.
Combined. And oh boy, do I want to see that. I saw the trailer for that. Oh my God. Richard Stanley is back. It's about fucking time.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who say that Die Monster Die is based off of the story The Color of Space. So also The Curse and The Curse 2. So I'm not really sure if that would be considered a remake or an original with Stanley's version.
No, because I disagree with that statement. Die Monster Die is not Color Out of Space.
Okay.
I mean, it's based within the Lovecraft, you know, universe, but no, it's not Color Out of Space.
Okay. Oh, that's what I've heard. I'm not going verbatim on that, so.
But that's a good one. Now, I thought what we would do is end up with one that I think is really interesting. So this is on my post. And this is a gentleman by the name of Bob Frabelle. I don't know him very well, but we are friends. And he came up with something I found really interesting. And this is what he said. I'd remake John Cassavetes' A Woman Under the Influence. I know that might sound sacrilegious to some cinephiles who view it as a masterpiece, but I think if you set it in the present day, with all the advances we've made in terms of mental health, we could make a movie that's more from the point of the view of the Gina Rowlands character. Now, I think that's a very interesting idea. And I have to say that I am a Cassavetes fanatic. I think the man is a brilliant director. Woman Under the Influence is not my favorite of his films. But that being said, he's very much into this kitchen sink realism. And basically, the Gina Rowlands character is going through some mental difficulties and a breakdown. And her husband, played by Peter Falk, doesn't know what to do. And to remake that in terms of what we know now about mental illness, and also to take it from the Gina Rowlands character as opposed to how the film is, which is more from the point of view of the Peter Falk character. It's really something. That's an interesting idea. What's your thought on that?
Do you know Woman Under the Influence at all? No, I'm not. I don't know the movie, but I definitely would feel that something that a movie about mental illness from the actual, you know, person, like from the point of view of the person who has the illness, could be definitely very interesting. And I would see it.
No,
I mean, we're not talking to the epic, you know, epic chaos that was the Joker. You know, that's about mental illness too, but this is more of a subtle, like finding the family conflict.
This is very confined
to
family and how the family deals with things, and this is very intimate. It's and it's very emotional, and it's very raw.
It must be, yeah.
It's extremely raw, and I'll tell you what, I've not seen The Joker, and I'm sure it's a good movie, but that's all gloss compared to this. Trust me.
Right. That's why I brought it up. This is on a smaller scale.
Right. Have you ever seen any Cassavetes at all?
I don't think I have.
You need to remedy that. But I will tell you this. They're not easy watches.
Yeah.
The one I would recommend for those people that have never seen a Cassavetes film is the original Gloria. Not the remake with Sharon Stone, God, no. But the one with Jenna Rollins, done in the 80s, it is absolutely wonderful. And basically, that movie is about a gangster's mole who, this young boy, his family is killed, and she takes him under her wing, you know, while all of the gangster people around her want to kill the kid because he witnessed a hit.
Right.
And it's and it has the immortal line. She's yelling at these two guys that she basically shot in the stomach, like you got beat by a woman, you pussy.
Nice.
Gina Rollins is a force of nature and one of our greatest actresses. And so one of the things about Women of the Influence is the idea that this is a woman that won the Academy Award for that role, and why remake it when that thing is just so unbelievably good? And I understand that, but the point being, the way that Bob mentioned it, and by taking a look and updating what we know about mental health now, and making it more scientific, things like that, it makes it a different film. And this is the whole thing about remakes. I'm not one to do an exact remake like Gus Van Sant did of Psycho. What's the use? You know, you have to rethink the material. You have to reboot it in your mind, and it has to be worthwhile. So, you know, those of you that are out there that, you know, go, well, we shouldn't remake anything. That's not true. I disagree with that. But if you're going to remake something, make it different. Have a different point of view. Do something that differentiates it from the original. And make sure that that differentiation is a good thing and not a bad thing. That's what I would say.
Well said. Yeah, and when you remake something...
All right, so here we are. We're an hour, so I think this is more than enough without any phone calls. Though I do have to say that Bond, your other choices that you gave us, particularly Fantastic Voyage, and These Are the Damned, would be good ones to remake, and particularly These Are the Damned. For those of you that don't know that film, that's one heady little film from the 60s. Oliver Reed, McDonald Carey. It's really something, and also directed by Joseph Losey, who's one of my favorite directors. That would be an interesting one to remake. So any final ones before we head off and tell people what's going on for next week?
Yes, we need more monsters. We need more sleaze. Bring it back. Bring it on back. Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yep. Yep. You did tell me you wanted a remake of Killer Nuns too, right?
Yeah, definitely Killer Nuns. That's just sleazy. It's fun. It's got Anita Ekberg nearing the end of her career, but she's still awesome. It's fun.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Just naughtiness everywhere. Drugs, naughty bits. And, of course, you know, spankings ahoy. But anyway,
we need to put Doc back in his cage. I'll just say we do. We need to make sure. He's just so giddy with the new job and that sort of thing. He can be himself now, which is a good thing. It really is, Doc.
It is. And there's going to be a lot more laughter coming, that's for sure.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Go ahead.
I was just laughing. I was laughing. It's all good.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, what do you have up for Sunday?
Sunday's show is still being worked on. It's been a hectic, crazy week, but we are going to have a show. We'll put up the information sometime tomorrow. And Yeah, it's just probably going to be just a little bit of a chat and see what's going on. But we do have some interesting shows planned and coming up in the next few weeks, because we actually are doing research into a few things, which I don't want to reveal yet. And we're going to actually have shows full of really good information for you. It'll teach you something.
Oh, that sounds
make
good.
You think a little bit. Yeah.
All righty.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. And I know that next Friday we will have another episode of Adam Ferenz's Cathode Ray Mission, and that will be next week. I'm not sure exactly what Adam is planning, but I'm sure it will be awesome. I do think
yes.
it's going to be animation. Dr. Seuss and Charlie Brown and that type of stuff as we get into Thanksgiving. So there we go. That's what we have planned on Deviant Legion. We do appreciate you all listening. And Bond, as always, man, great to have you with us in spirit and in messenger. It's a wonderful thing all the way from England. We love him dearly. And we want to wish everyone a good night. Enjoy your cold weekend if you're out on the East Coast. And if you're in Florida, fuck you. Okay? It's cold. All right.
It should be warm, too. Yep. All right, cool.
All right,
well,
people.
Night,
well,
everybody.
Listen, have a good weekend. And we'll see you here next week with Adam Ferenz's Cathode Ray Mission. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.